Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheel. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and on this very special 100th episode of the Tank Slappers podcast, I'm very happy to say I'm joined, as ever, by, of course, Motorsport.com's Aurel Pustemon and Suzuki MotoGP rider Alex Rins. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Thank you very much,
Lewis. Of course, we are in the middle of the MotoGP summer break, so I hope you've been having a good rest, Alex.
Yeah, for sure. Last week I did the full summer, full holidays, just 1 week to reset the body, the mind, and everything. And already since this last Monday, I start to work hard in the gym, in the motorbike, a little bit again in the routine, no?
Before the winter, you had some problems with your wrist. Just, you know, tell our listeners how your recovery's gone with the wrist you hurt a couple of months ago.
Well, sincerely, my wrist is 100% recovered. I was suffering a little bit in the gym the last weeks after the last race in Holland. But sincerely, right now is perfect. I'm feeling good. So I'm not thinking on the wrist.
Perfect, that's fantastic to hear. Of course, we can now officially talk about the big news that we've been waiting for the past few weeks. You have a new contract in your back pocket. You are going to join Honda next year and the LCR squad. I mean, first of all, how relieved are you to have this all, you know, in the books and signed and sorted after what has been really an unexpected few months with the Suzuki announcement?
Well, sincerely, I'm happy because it's the first interview that I can say officially that I will race for Honda LCR for the next year. The last weeks, the last GPs was obvious, no? But I couldn't say nothing because we didn't sign the last GPs, but sincerely I'm super happy to join Honda. I think it's a big challenge. So let's see. Let's finish this season in the best way possible, and then after Valencia, let's try to adapt to the bike. No, usually in the safety commissions, I'm a rider who doesn't want to make a lot of tests of the season. But for sure, right now, only with the Jerez test, is not enough. It's not enough for me. So I will try to push to make more tests. I think I'm kidding. No, we only will do Jerez. But for sure, I'm really really excited to jump on the bike.
Alex, before coming back to the Suzuki, how do you think that you're gonna be able to help Honda? Because Honda is in a difficult time at the moment, and how your experience as a MotoGP rider, do you think that will help you on that?
Well, as you said, I think I have a quite good experience in the MotoGP category, improving the Suzuki bike. In the end, with my help, we did a really competitive bike and a world champion bike, no? So for sure, the first month will be a little bit difficult to help Honda to improve their bike. For sure, I need to adapt and I need to understand the bike. But I already talked with Lucho, and he says that Honda will make a new bike for the next year. So I will try to understand as soon as possible the bike and trying to give all my experience to them, no?
We've obviously seen over the past couple of years different riders going to Honda and it being difficult. How do you view that challenge? Because, of course, it is a much bigger challenge to what you're used to with Suzuki, which is the only bike you have ridden in MotoGP. Is it a challenge that makes you nervous, or as a sportsman, is it a challenge that makes you hungry?
Through my head, this question, I ask myself this question, no? If you see the past, Lorenzo go to Honda and he struggled a lot. Paul did a good races, but he's struggling a little bit. Alex Márquez gets some podiums, but also he's struggling. I'm really excited to join that project, no? For sure, I'm not thinking in the way that the bike is so difficult, so let's see what we can do. I'm not thinking this. I just want to ride the bike, try to make the bike to myself and get the results.
How do you approach the second part of the season, considering that, it's not an easy season for Suzuki, it's not an easy season for you. Maybe now, as Luis said, it's a bit of a relief knowing that you have your future sorted. How do you approach the second part of the season with Suzuki?
Well, I will approach in the same way that we start, for sure. In the beginning of the season, we were quite strong, no, quite competitive in the world standing. In the world standing, now for some crashes that we have during the season, we are a bit far away. But still, we have a lot of work to do on Suzuki. This 2022 bike for me is one of the most competitive bikes that Suzuki has in his career. So. Now, first week of August, we have Silverstone, really nice track for me. Let's try to do a good job. Then is coming Austria, is coming Aragon, also the Asiatic tour, Asiatic route, no? So for sure, I'm super excited to jump on the Honda. This is clear, but I also want to get more podiums with the Suzuki.
How do you see yourself through your MotoGP career at the moment? I mean, you still that you have more to come from yourself. I mean, you see yourself in your peak of performance. You see that it's still your learning process is still going up, 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 up. Or how do you see yourself in compare with all the other riders and in compare with yourself?
Well, sincerely, I mean, my learning way is still increasing. No, is still going up. For sure, every year and every race, I learn something new. By myself, I'm working even harder year by year. And you know, I was a bit scared when Suzuki announced his retirement because, you know, I'm not anymore a rookie rider, no? And I was trying to find a factory bike that luckily already... luckily we get it, but I was a little bit scared because it's not an easy way, no? But sincerely, as I said, I'm still learning in my career. I'm still training hard, discovering new things. So I think I have a lot of way to do yet.
Sorry, when you say that you were scared, you mean of losing a job?
Yeah, well, I was scared losing a job I was scared for because maybe I was losing my job or maybe because I was getting not a competitive bike.
You actually answered a question I was going to ask there, Alex, about when this announcement was made and what you thought the impact it would have on your future. When this announcement came, of course, it was such a shock to everyone. Did you almost feel frustrated in a way because you had had such a great start to the season, and especially after 2021 where you had quite a difficult campaign, you clearly turned things around and were riding better than ever. Did you feel frustrated that almost you were going to have your future taken away from you despite the fact that you had made such a big step?
Yeah, frustrated is not the word. It's difficult to choose one word. I felt a lot of emotions, many, many, many emotions when they told me, when they were explaining to the team that I was there. Race by race, I'm feeling strange emotions, no? Because after when the Friday it's done, I mean, when the mechanics finish the bike and they don't have no more things to do, they run away from the box and they go to another boxes to find a job for the next year. Think that the last year was not like this. I mean, last year or in the first races, when the mechanics were finishing their job, they were staying in the box. We were going doing to do a lap on the on the electric scooter. I mean, they are doing quite well their job, but talking about the emotions are emotions that I'm feeling, no?
How important was for you to sign with directly Honda for next year, having a factory contract? Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that signing with Lucho is less important or is worse than signing with Honda, but how important is being or having a factory contract? I mean that the factory takes care of you.
First of all, it's a pleasure to have the contract with an official manufacturer, as you said, with Honda. For sure, if I was signing with Lucho, with not an official bike, was okay. If it was the unique way, I will take it, no? But I'm super happy because, you know, I don't see myself running with not an official bike. Let me explain. I mean, I think I have a lot of experience, a lot of capacity to improve a bike. So, fuck, I don't show me with not an official bike. It's difficult to explain, mm-hmm. but was the unique way. We had the option to go to Ducati. We had more options also, but in Ducati they couldn't secure me a mm-hmm. official bike. No, I really understand, and also I say thanks to them because they give me the opportunity. In the end, was with Honda, and I'm super happy. In the end, also I was with them in 2014. More or less, it's the same people leading the project. Moto 3 project and this project, so I'm happy.
You've been working with Suzuki, which I mean it's a Japanese manufacturer, despite the team is run for a lot of European people. Honda is not, apparently from what the Honda riders say, Honda is not going to be easy in terms of convince the Japanese what to do with the bike. I mean, even Jorge Lorenzo decided to retire before reaching that point. Even Mark is struggling. Paul, of course, Alex, Taka. Are you patient enough to deal with them and to trying to convince them about what your feelings are on the bike?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I will try to give my maximum to, as I said before, to understand the bike. I know that I will work again with Japanese people, that they are so good. Their time to produce and to improve the things, no? Like, for example, we can see in the championship, no? That maybe Ducati has some new aero parts. Aprilia, also Italian guys, are trying to improve also their aero, not copying Ducati, but looking at Ducati. I push also Suzuki to improve in some areas, and takes time. But when they bring it, they have like an explanation. Why they take so long time, no? So much time.
And Alex, just finally, because we've run out of time with you, we're coming now to the second half of the season. We come to a track that you love so much in Silverstone, and some great tracks coming up for Suzuki. With everything, this is obviously now the end point for Suzuki and MotoGP and your time with the team. How much more determined does that make you to finally get that first win of the season, to almost thank Suzuki for everything they've given you over the years, and to almost to boost the atmosphere within the team to make the end of the season memorable and enjoyable?
For sure, as you say, this is a good opportunity to take the victory in Silverstone. It's a really nice track for us, to give Suzuki the first victory of the season. Also to improve like as a rider, to go like more convinced. But you know, this year when I go like from one weekend to the other weekend, a GP weekend, it's so difficult to say here I will win or here I will do a podium because the level is so high. Fabio, Aleix, Pecco, they are riding super fast. And looking at the results from the last year, I can say, okay, not this race because Aleix finished third, no? But for example, another race that Aleix really struggled during the last year weekend. This year, he's like super fast, fighting for the first position, no? So I will try to give my maximum. We know that Silverstone is a really nice track for us, but I don't want to put that extra pressure. I don't know if you understand, but it's like if we don't take the win, doesn't matter. I mean, I'm a horse racer, no? I want to win every race. Mm. But if we can't achieve the victory in Silverstone, we need to understand why we were out of the position, no?
Well, Alex, we look forward to seeing you at Silverstone, and we hope you have a good weekend there and a good end to the season. Thank you very much for joining us on the Tank Slappers podcast.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Well, no, it's just us again, Yuri. It was nice to have Alex Rins on. That's our third Suzuki rider I think we've had on the Tank Slappers podcast since we started it. It was our 100th episode, which time flies, really. You know, Silverstone 2019 was when we had our first podcast. It's quite crazy to think we've got to this point.
Yeah, we had also Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin Schwantz, and we had Juan. Yeah. We had Juan a couple of times as well. A fourth Suzuki rider because we had Randy on as well.
You are right. Yeah,
it's we don't have a bias towards Suzuki. We just
maybe it's because of us that they shut down their project.
Yeah, well, I hope not. It's not really the way I want the Tank Slappers podcast to be remembered. We do like other MotoGP riders. We should say just Suzuki seems to be the much more helpful manufacturer when it comes to interviews. Which, actually, you know, joking aside, we obviously Alex speaking there about the team. We've spoken about this before. Losing Suzuki from MotoGP is not just a really sad thing from a sporting point of view. We are losing a great, great group of people. You know, from engineers to the media side, it is one of the best teams in the paddock.
I think so. I mean, it's the easiest team to work with. In all the ways, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. One of what strike me about this as well is no matter how kind of shit the situation was at Le Mans, I saw, you know, Fede and Alberto and all the PR guys having fun in the pit lane and taking pictures, and you know they came round and spoke to everyone, and you know they spoke about it as almost as if they were just grateful of the fact that this journey had happened, not that it was coming to an end. And I think that's a real mark of how professional a team Suzuki is.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, but they were devastated.
Oh,
they still
100%.
Are having trouble, but they are super 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 broke people.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, a great team, and we hope the best for their future. But just going on what Alex said, a couple of interesting things stood out. Of course, the Suzuki announcement created a big storm in the rider market because two great riders all of a sudden needed seats and there weren't enough seats. The fact that Alex was open about being scared at not having a future, not getting a competitive bike.
Yeah, I think it's a very human reaction,
exactly.
But not many sportsmen want to admit that. I remember, maybe it's not exactly the same, but I remember when Jorge Lorenzo admitted that he was scared on the bike, that everybody was super, surprised about his quote, but it is what it is. I mean, they go straight and they prefer to admit, yes, of course, I was scared because I was afraid about losing my job and having to, not being able to ride a factory bike and being, in a way, demoted to,
And I have to say as well, I liked Alex's comment there about he couldn't see himself on a non-official bike. You know,
yeah.
People might think that is always a big ego thing, but that just shows how where he is in his head right now. And I suspect maybe a year ago that wouldn't be the case after the season he had last year.
Yeah, but I think that we all know that how talented Alex Rins is, and I think it's good because, I mean, for him and for a rider, it shows how confident he is on his abilities, on his performance. So it shows how important for him is being in a bike and sign with a factory that gives him all the trust.
For sure. And of course, we think he'll be partnered. His teammate Joan Mir will go to the factory Honda squad, but it'll be interesting to see how the two of them get on in the Honda environment and what they can do to help change this bike, because, you know, Alberto Puig says himself, Honda needs to change its way of thinking, and it seems taking on two Suzuki riders is a little bit of a change of thinking.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good that Alberto says that, but I think it will be more important than the Japanese.
Yeah,
say that and admit that. I think that's the hardest part of the world.
Yes,
I would say if you can understand what
and,
I mean.
And Yamaha are sort of proving that the Japanese are able to listen to other ways with Luca Marmorini coming on as an engine kind of
thing. But don't forget that Yamaha at the moment is pretty similar, is at very similar point where Honda was 3 years ago with Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take Fabio out of the equation, they are lost.
Yeah, 100%, and obviously we won't know how much of a change Yamaha has made until the new season, and the same goes for Honda. But obviously Alex being signed officially is another piece in the rider market that is sorted. We think the second LCR seat, probably Ayogura. Nakagami,
I think so.
Looks like he's heading for a test rider role. A few more seats, obviously Joan to Honda still to be confirmed, but we think he will go there. Paul to Tech 3 and KTM. And then it's a case of waiting to see what happens with factory Ducati seat, which we won't know for a few weeks yet, and sort of the
But whatever
as well.
Happens, I mean, whoever it takes, either Jorge Martin or René Bastianini, I mean, the other one will be in a Pramac.
Yeah, so they will have
in a factory Pramac.
Bike,
So yeah, exactly.
So and after that, it's the kind of the RNF Tech 3 KTM sort of triangle almost.
Yeah, there are four riders for three bikes, if we consider that Darren Binder is still on the game, with all the support that he has. I think it would be interesting to see if it's one of the current Tech 3 guys that is has no bike for next year, or if it's Darren Binder who stays out of the equation.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have answers to those questions soon. With that, we'll leave the 100th Tank Slappers episode there. Yuri, thank you very much, as always, and for everything
over the
past 100 episodes. really do appreciate it. I will see you in Silverstone in a couple of weeks' time.
Yep.
And of course, we will continue having MotoGP stuff on motorsport and autosport.com. All of our other 100 episodes of Tank Slappers will be on your podcast platforms. But until the next time, it's a very warm goodbye, and thank you ever so much for continuing to listen to us.